It's Thursday, the 26th of March, 2025, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff. Today, we have news from our military news websites, such as Stripes.com and MilitaryTimes.com, as well as our Veterans Service Organization's newsletters, publications, and websites. And of course, as always, we have news from the VA.gov website. Starting out with an article from the 24th of March by Linda F. Hershey. Senate Democrats plan shadow hearings on VA's mass firings after Republican leaders rebuff requests. This is from Washington. Senate Democrats disclosed plans Monday to hold an official shadow hearing starting in April to examine the mass firings at the Department of Veterans Affairs and the impact on veterans' services and benefits. Doug Collins, the VA Secretary, is invited to speak at the first shadow hearing, which is scheduled for April 2nd, said Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, the top Democrat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, when he announced plans for the informal hearings. Shadow hearings are in response to the refusal by the Republican-led committee to recent petitions by Senate Democrats to schedule hearings on the layoffs, he said. Other Democrat senators, as well as independents on the VA committee, are expected to attend the informal hearings, including Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois, Senator Angus King, Independent of Maine, and Senator Bernie Sanders, Independent of Vermont. Senator Jerry Moran, Republican of Kansas, the committee's chairman, holds the authority to set the agenda, identifying the bills and issues that the committee will debate and act on at hearings. Representative Mike Bost, Republican of Illinois, who is chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, refused last month to have the members examine the mass layoffs after Representative Mark Tacano, Democrat of California, urged him to do so during an unrelated hearing with Veterans Services Organizations. After a heated exchange, Bost said he would take the request under advisement. Veterans, terminated VA workers, contractors and union leaders also will participate in the shadow hearings, Democrat senators said. A room at the Capitol for the hearings is being reserved, according to Blumenthal's office. Congress has an urgent oversight role in this moment of crisis for veterans. Now, more than ever, we need to sound the alarm and hear directly from the veterans and VA employees impacted by Elon Musk's and President Donald Trump's heartless and heartbreaking cuts, freezes, and firings, Blumenthal said. Other Democrats on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee are Patty Murray of Washington, Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Ruben Gallego of Arizona, and Alyssa Schlotkin of Michigan. Democrat senators have largely opposed the cuts to staff and programs at the VA and other agencies. The VA fired approximately 1,400 probationary workers in February. Another 1,000 positions are vacant because of a hiring freeze. The VA also canceled hundreds of contracts with nonprofits that run community-based programs that assist veterans. But Collins said the cutbacks at VA will make the behemoth agency, which employs more than 470,000 workers, operate more effectively for veterans. The union bosses, legacy media, even members of Congress who've been complaining for years about the VA not being efficient are now complaining when we're actually trying to provide solutions, he said. Reductions at the VA are part of a larger downsizing of federal government ordered by Trump and executed by Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Another 80,000 VA employees are expected to be terminated from their jobs in the summer, according to a leaked memo from the Office of Personnel Management, which acts as human resources agency for the federal government. Senate Democrats and several independent lawmakers are supporting legislation called the Putting Veterans First Act, which would reinstate fired veterans and military spouses to do to their VA jobs with back pay and benefits. When somebody puts his or her life on the line to defend this country, we keep the promises we made to those veterans, said Sanders, who introduced the legislation with Blumenthal. You do not balance the budget on the backs of those who defended this country. Give our heroes their jobs back, said Duckworth, who introduced similar legislation, the Protect Veterans Jobs Act, to restore the federal jobs of the approximately 6,000 veterans terminated across the government. Approximately one-third of all federal workers are veterans who receive preference in hiring under federal law. Not Senate Democrats planned shadow hearings on VA's mass firings after Republican leaders rebuff requests. Next, from Linda Hershey, we have an article from the 26th of March. VA Secretary to meet with the Senate VA Committee for the first time since taking office. Washington. The Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins will come before the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee for the first time since taking office to answer questions about the agency's plans to further reduce its workforce amid a hiring freeze and the cancellation of hundreds of contracts with community agencies. Collins accepted a request by Senator Jerry Moran, Republican of Kansas, the committee chairman, to discuss how the VA will conduct a potential workforce reduction of up to 83,000 personnel in the summer, according to Moran's office. A date has not been set for the hearing. I've requested Secretary Collins to testify before the committee, and he has agreed to do so, Moran said. Members of the committee will have the opportunity to question Secretary Collins on workforce changes and his plans to make the VA work better for veterans. I also expect the Secretary to also be able to testify about the President's budget request for the Department of Veterans Affairs. The VA, since January, has terminated 1,400 probationary workers and implemented a hiring freeze on non-essential positions. But lawmakers only learned about plans for a second round of layoffs after a VA memo was leaked to reporters earlier this month. The memo from VA Chief of Staff Christopher Syrek directed VA leaders to conduct sweeping job terminations with the stated goal to make the VA operate more efficiently. Federal agencies, including the VA, are under order from President Donald Trump to reduce the size of their workforce as part of the restructuring of the federal government. The VA is the second largest agency in the federal government after the Defense Department and employs more than 470,000 workers. Last week, VA officials briefed staff from the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees about the agency's plans for more layoffs. Collins has stated the layoffs will make the agency run more efficiently and be more responsive to the 9 million veterans it serves. VA delivers a range of benefits and services to veterans, including health care, tuition assistance, and disability compensation. But Congress must have a significant oversight role in strategically shaping VA workforce decisions to achieve the right outcomes for veterans and their families, Moran said at a hearing on March 11th, when he informed lawmakers about the invitation for the VA secretary to meet with a committee. Veterans make up about 30% of the federal workforce. Democrat senators also announced plans Monday to hold their own series of unofficial shadow hearings that will look at the impact of the layoffs. Collins was invited to the first shadow hearing on April the 2nd, but he's not expected to attend, lawmakers said. Democrat lawmakers have largely opposed the cuts to staff and programs at the VA and other agencies. That's VA Secretary to meet with Senate VA Committee for the first time since taking office. Return now to an article by Allison Bath. Navy shipbuilding strategy requires total overhaul to meet AIMS audit finds. This is from the 26th of March. The Navy must throw out its worn shipbuilding playbook if it wants to grow its fleet enough to meet critical national security needs, a congressional watchdog agency said. The service's deficient planning approach to designing, building, and delivering ships has led to huge cost increases, delays in putting vehicles into service, and missed performance goals, the Government Accountability Office said in a report Tuesday. The GAO noted that poor buying decisions are made worse by a budgeting process that requires the Navy to secure long-term funding before the full scope of a project is understood. The Navy has about 296 numbered battle force ships, including aircraft carriers, destroyers, submarines, and combat logistics vessels. But the service wants to see the fleet grow to 381 battle force ships over the next 30 years. The report casts doubt on the Navy's ability to achieve that goal unless its acquisition approach better aligns with innovative practices that promote timely, predictable development and delivery of new, fully capable ships. To improve performance, the Navy should use proven ship design and product development practices rooted in the approaches of industry-leading companies, according to the report. Leading practices offer the Navy a near-term path toward restoring credibility with the operational fleet, Congress, and the taxpayers, the report stated. The GAO added that since 2015, the agency has made 90 recommendations identifying design practices used by commercial shipbuilders and builders that the Navy can use. Though the service has agreed to many of the recommendations, it's only fully or partially implemented about 30 of them, the GAO said. Among the recommendations are using commercial shipping practices that ensure schedule, cost, and requirements expectations are better informed. The Navy currently sets those expectations when a ship's design is unstable or in progress, which results in insufficient information for decision-making. That raises the risks of higher costs and delays, the report stated. Using the industry model would help the Navy avoid problems such as those that led to tens of billions of dollars in cost overruns to build the littoral combat ships and Zumwalt-class destroyers. Beyond the added spending, the ambitious plan to add developmental technologies to the destroyers resulted in years of delays. Ultimately, the Navy was forced to reduce the number of Zumwalt-class destroyers from 32 to just 3, at a cost of $10.6 billion each, more than 7 times the original estimate, the GAO said. Meanwhile, the Navy determined that upgraded Arleigh Burke-class destroyers more effectively met changing mission needs, according to the report. While the Navy has taken some actions toward improving shipbuilding outcomes, it isn't apparent that the service has fully understood or applied lessons from previous mistakes, the GAO said. Two newer programs, the Constellation-class frigate and the medium landing ship, or LSM, are experiencing similar problems, according to the agency. The Navy began work on the first Constellation frigate in 2022 with a then estimated price tag of $1.3 billion, but estimates have since ballooned by more than $200 million, and delivery of the ship has been delayed by 3 years to 2029, according to the report. Using faulty metrics, the Navy determined that the design of the ship was nearly 88% complete as it awarded construction contracts. A later evaluation by the service showed the design progress was just 70% complete. As a result, construction has stalled while the Navy and the shipbuilder negotiate important technical requirements, the GAO said. Unrealistic design plans have also contributed to delays and likely higher costs for LSMs, which transport Marines and their supplies, the agency said. The program is in the process of revising its cost estimates and timelines, the GAO said. That article, Navy Shipbuilding Strategy Requires Total Overhaul to Meet AIMS Audit Finds. We turn now to medical staff shortages impeding VA mental health care, advocates tell lawmakers. This is by Linda Hershey from the 25th of March, Washington. Chronic medical staffing shortages at the Department of Veterans Affairs make it difficult for the most ill patients with mental health conditions to see psychiatrists in a timely manner, according to a former VA clinician now in private practice. In addition, psychiatrists registered with the VA to provide care in the community often encounter payment delays and scheduling problems causing them to leave the VA system, said Shankar Yalamanchili, a former VA psychiatrist who now directs River Region Psychiatry Associates, a privately run multi-state practice. Yalamanchili delivered the message to lawmakers Tuesday at a House Veterans Affairs Committee subpanel on health hearing. He said VA hospitals need the ability to contract directly with private physician groups to fill vacancies so veterans are not underserved or forced to wait months for care. The Veterans Health Administration is facing medical staffing shortages, according to a VA Office of Inspector General report that found severe personnel shortages in fiscal 2024, impacting clinical and non-clinical jobs. Shortages span nurses, primary care doctors, and psychiatrists, among other roles. Missy Jarrett, mother of Navy veteran Landon Holcomb, told lawmakers that the VA repeatedly canceled and delayed her son's appointments to see a psychiatrist for mood-stabilizing drugs to treat his depression. The system completely failed him, she said. Holcomb, 39, died from a drug overdose in 2024 after his requests for psychiatric care were denied and then delayed, Jarrett said. All Landon asked for was a mental health appointment for medicine management. He raised his hand over and over, she said. Representative Marionette Miller-Weeks, Republican of Iowa, the subpanel chairwoman, said she does not believe spending more to provide care at the Veterans Health Administration is the answer. In fiscal 2024, Congress provided $121 billion in funding for health services for veterans. But a severe shortage of doctors was reported by 86% of VA hospitals and clinics in 2024. Though the VA hired more than 300 psychiatrists since 2023, the agency has faced chronic shortages for psychiatrists for several years, reflecting a national shortage. Fewer medical students choose psychiatry as their specialty, according to the American Association of Medical Colleges. Approximately 40% of veterans require mental health services every year, said Yalamanchili, who urged lawmakers to be more proactive in addressing the VA shortages of medical staff by considering alternative solutions that include hiring doctor groups to fill gaps in care. Yalamanchili offered insights about shortages and delays in the delivery of care to veterans with psychiatric illnesses. He said private clinicians who register with the VA to accept veterans as patients get frustrated by frequent problems in receiving timely reimbursements for the care they provide. The VA schedules appointments that veterans have with private clinicians in the community. Yalamanchili described a lack of coordination by the VA that results in appointment cancellations and delays for follow-up visits. Private doctors are frustrated and leave the network, he said. But Representative Julia Brownlee, Democrat of California, said here is a serious lack of oversight of private doctors in the community compared with clinicians at the VA. We must find a balance between community and VA care, she said. Michael Urban, an Army veteran and clinical social worker, said he began taking prescribed painkillers after he was injured in an accident during a jump as a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division. Urban was medically discharged and had to undergo multiple surgeries for his injury. He was placed on a regimen of opioids to dull the pain, a path all too familiar to many veterans, he said. In 2004, he began receiving medical care at the Philadelphia VA Medical Center, but Urban said there were long delays for addiction treatment and mental health care. I've experienced the challenges of accessing care in the system, he said. Though there are shorter waits for health care since the passage of the Mission Act, which enabled veterans to see community-based clinicians, he said there are sometimes bureaucratic delays in accessing community care. But Maria Ioretti, acting VA Undersecretary for the Health Office of Integrated Veterans Care, said the availability of residential addiction treatment for veterans has grown as the VA now sends veterans to care in the community when beds at a VA hospital are not available. Brownlee said the residential treatment is more costly at private programs, running to $6,000 per day. Jarrett said her son was booked at Charleston VA Healthcare in South Carolina in May 2024 to see a psychiatrist 6 months after he originally sought mental health care and medication management for his depression. But Holcomb died from fentanyl poisoning before his scheduled visit, she said. Her son's drug abuse was an attempt to numb the pain from mental health problems connected to military service, Jarrett said. He was experiencing anxiety, insomnia, restlessness, and mood swings. Landon knew that he needed a mood stabilizer, she said. Help did not come soon enough. That's medical staff shortages impeding VA mental health care, advocates tell lawmakers. Our next article is by Philip Walter Wallman of Stars and Stripes from the 24th of March. At 101, American World War II veteran returns to Polish forest where he was once POW. Tykowo, Poland. The last time Lester Schrenk stood in this dense patch of forest in what is now northwestern Poland, there were no trees here. It was 80 years ago, and the Germans had cleared a swath of land to build a World War II prisoner of war camp known as Stalag Luft IV. Schrenk, a former U.S. Army Air Force's B-17 gunner who was shot down over Denmark in February 1944, spent about half of his 15 months as a POW enduring the harsh conditions at the camp. Over the weekend, the 101-year-old, living in Bloomington, Minnesota, returned for the first time since he left 8 decades ago. He didn't come for closure. Schrenk says he got that years ago. Instead, his visit was driven by curiosity and a desire to pass his story down to younger generations. "I'm glad to be back. It's part of my history," Schrenk said. Looking around at the towering pines that have thrived over the passing decades, I put all the bad memories behind me. It's part of forgiveness. Schrenk enlisted on his 19th birthday, November 19, 1942. About a year later, he deployed to Europe with the 327th Bombardment Squadron, 92nd Bomb Group of the 8th Air Force, stationed at RAF Poddington in Bedfordshire, England. As a ball turret gunner, his job was to fire 2 50-caliber machine guns from a small, rotating sphere made of metal and glass mounted on the underside of the B-17 aircraft. The role required skill and nerve, with minimal armor protection from enemy fire. Schrenk and his crew manned B-17 named Pot of Gold and were on their 10th mission when they were attacked by a German Junkers Ju-88 aircraft. The crew parachuted out of their burning plane, landing near the town of Thisted. All but one of them survived, but months of hardship awaited. Schrenk immediately was captured, interrogated, and sent to Stalag Luft 6 in what is today Šilutė, Lithuania, where he said he was beaten and given just enough food to survive. In July 1944, as Soviet forces advanced into Eastern Europe, he and other inmates were transferred to Stalag Luft 4. In all, about 10,000 prisoners, including 8,000 Americans, were loaded on rail cars and arrived at what is today the Podborsko train station, roughly 2 miles from the camp. They shackled us and gave us each a Red Cross parcel to hold under our arms and then started chasing us down the road with dogs and bayonets, Schrenk recalled. I had the presence of mind to stay in the middle of the group. The ones on the outside bore the brunt of the police dogs nipping at them. Schrenk, who left the Army as a staff sergeant, shared the memory Saturday morning outside the weathered, still active train station, speaking to a small group of American volunteers who helped organize his visit along with Polish officials, U.S. and Polish military representatives, and a few journalists. After visiting the train station, Schrenk and the group traveled to the former campsite. Following the war, residents demolished the camp's barracks and other structures for lumber. Nature slowly reclaimed the area during the Cold War years. But after the fall of communism, residents began rediscovering the forgotten history of the POW camp. In 1992, monuments were erected at the Podborsko train station and the grounds of the former camp. American veterans began returning to share their stories. The problem is that this camp wasn't very well known, and there's not much documentation, so not many people know the history of this place, said Paweł Urbanik, a military historian with the Museum of Polish Arms in Kołobrzeg, adding that efforts are underway to recover artifacts that may help paint a clearer picture of what life was like there 80 years ago. Schrenk is believed to be the first POW from Stalag Luft IV to visit the site in about two decades, according to Urbaniak, who organizes a commemoration event each February. "What I remember most was starving," Schrenk said as he walked across the grounds where a few camp remnants remain. "You are so weak that you try to spend most of your time lying in bed to preserve your strength." He vividly recalled a prison guard he dubbed Ham Hands, who would sneak up behind prisoners and pound the butt of his rifle into their feet or cuff his hands over their ears. He must have been used to very hard labor because the size of his hands was just tremendous, Schrenk said. Because Schrenk spoke some German, his grandparents had immigrated from Germany, he occasionally was used as a translator in the camp. In February 1945, as the Soviets drew closer to Stalag Luft IV, the guards told the prisoners they'd be relocated once again, this time on foot. What followed would become known as the March of Death, or Black March, an 86-day forced march across Germany in freezing weather with no clear destination and little food or shelter. The prisoners, many malnourished and poorly clothed, walked for hundreds of miles through snow and mud. Several hundred POWs, including many Americans, are believed to have died during the march. The exact number remains unknown. Schrenk said the thought of his family kept him going. "My parents didn't want me to enlist, and I promised my mother that I would make it back home safely. I relied on that promise, and I think that helped get me through," he said. When British forces liberated Schrenk and his fellow inmates in May 1945, he weighed just 93 pounds, down from 185 when he arrived in Europe. In 2012, Schrenk met the German man who shot his plane down and forgave him as part of a Danish war documentary. It's an inspiration for younger veterans to see that they too can live a successful life after combat, said Andrew Biggio, a former Marine Corps infantry sergeant and author who has led efforts to bring more than 60 World War II veterans back to Europe. He described the experience as therapeutic for everyone involved. Schrenk wrapped up his visit to Poland at a local military-affiliated high school, which houses a permanent exhibition on Stalag Luft IV, including artifacts recovered from the site. He answered students' questions but played down any notion of bravery. Third-year student Tymotskus Wozniak wasn't convinced. "We're seeing for the first time a walking legend," Wozniak said. "This has been a good opportunity, not only to talk, but to learn something we can pass on to the next generation." That's at 101, American World War II veteran returns to Polish Forest, where he was once a POW. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store for your iPad or iPhone, or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet, or you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. We have the publication from the VFW, the VFW magazine, from March and April that has this good advice for you. Beware of scammers and protect your identity. National Public Data is a data broker that conducted background searches for different businesses, including obtaining criminal records and other personal information through shared software programs. It reportedly gathered data by scraping information about individuals from non-public sources without the person's knowledge or consent. Many victims do not know their information has been leaked unless they have a monitoring service to alert them. Due to this breach, criminals are using personal information to open new accounts or gain access to bank accounts, retirement assets, tax returns, credit lines, and even medical care. They're two important tasks to help prevent fraud. Here is what you can do. First, place a security freeze on your credit file. While it means you'll have to unfreeze your credit, should you want to open a new credit card or take out a loan, it also means crooks cannot use your Social Security number to do so. Second, get an identity protection PIN to file your taxes. It'll help stop the misuse of your Social Security number in filing fraudulent tax returns to steal your refund. And you can learn more about protecting your identity. You can call the VFW Member Benefits Department at 800-821-2606. That's Beware of Scammers and Protect Your Identity. Then they also have Travel Tips Lead to Savings. If you have a spring break or summer travel plans, you're likely aware gas is not cheap these days. Why pay full price for flights, rentals, and hotels when you could be saving hundreds every trip? Before you set off to your next destination, here are some travel tips to help you spend less on your next trip. Book rental cars online, not at the airport. One of the easiest ways to save on rental cars is also one of the simplest. Booking well in advance. Rates are significantly cheaper for rentals booked a few weeks in advance of travel. This is especially true compared to what you'll pay after stepping out of the airport. Find good deals on flights. While an airline loyalty card might offer savings, the real deals are found using an online flight search service to find flights that will potentially cost hundreds less. And then keep an eye on hotel savings. Even more so than rental cars or flights, you can get great deals on hotels if you know where to look. One of the best ways to get big savings on hotel stays is through an online discount program where you can regularly find top hotel rooms listed for 30, 40, or even 50% off for both domestic and international travel. There's no denying that compiling the best flights, hotel bundles, and rental cars all in advance to get your savings can be a headache. Take away the pain of planning for looking into discount savings plans. You can find more information on savings programs for VFW members. You can call the VFW Member Benefits Department again at 800-821-2606. And that's Travel Tips Lead to Savings. A couple of articles from the VFW magazine for March and April. We'll jump back to Stripes.com for this item. Lawmakers push to end double-dipping ban that keeps combat wounded veterans from accessing full benefits. This is by Linda Hershey from the 21st of March, Washington. Lawmakers are pushing again to overturn a federal law that stops combat injured veterans with less than 20 years of service from collecting their full retirement pay when they qualify for disability compensation. The Richard Starr Act would restore full benefits to approximately 53,000 service members forced to retire medically due to the severity of injuries incurred in combat. Under existing law, these veterans are denied full pensions from the Defense Department if they opt to receive disability compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. They must waive a portion of their retirement pay equal to the amount of their disability compensation from the VA. The legislation did not advance to a final vote in fiscal 2024 over cost concerns, but it's drawing unusual bipartisan support from key lawmakers, even as the administration of President Donald Trump makes sweeping cuts to federal programs. I don't imagine this will be on anyone's priority list given the cutbacks going on in government, said Marine Corps veteran Adam Kieselowski, a sergeant from Maryland who was medically retired in 2006 after suffering life-threatening injuries in a bomb blast in Iraq. I'm glad the country is operating in a fiscally responsible manner, but taking care of our country's veterans is critically important too. Kieselowski's left arm and right leg below the knee were amputated in a series of operations. He was 21 years old at the time. This legislation makes a critical change to treat our veterans fairly and support our nation's heroes. I urge my colleagues to support its quick passage, said Senator Rick Scott, Republican of Florida, one of the sponsors who reintroduced the legislation in the Senate last week. A hearing on the bill has yet to be scheduled. Scott said the legislation's passage allows for combat wounded veterans who retired with less than 20 years of service to receive their pensions plus disability pay concurrently, which they rightfully earned. Implementation of the Richard Starr Act would cost more than $7 billion through 2023 in direct spending on military retirees, according to the Congressional Budget Office. But rules against double dipping from federal funding sources are keeping veterans permanently disabled from combat injuries from receiving their full retirement pay and disability benefits. A 2023 report by the National Institutes of Health concluded. The Wounded Warrior Project, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and other veteran service organizations said they are making the bill's passage a legislative priority in 2025. The bill has collected 187 sponsors in the House and 48 in the Senate. This measure corrects one of the deepest injustices in our present veterans' disability system, said Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, the top Democrat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and one of the bill's sponsors. The legislation is named after Army Reserve Major Richard Starr, who was medically retired in 2018 after he developed lung cancer linked to burn pits and other airborne toxins in war zones in Afghanistan and Iraq. Starr died in 2021. Our bipartisan bill will finally provide these military retirees who have already sacrificed so much their full VA disability and Defense Department retirement payments, Blumenthal said. Kieselowski, now 40, estimated the ban has kept him from receiving an additional $14,000 a year in retirement benefits. It's not like an astronomical amount of money, but it would make a big difference to someone who's given so much, he said. That's lawmakers' push to end double-dipping ban that keeps combat wounded veterans from accessing full benefits. Our next item is from MilitaryTimes.com by Claire Barrett. National Medal of Honor Museum opens its doors. This is from the 25th of March. It has been years, decades even, in the making, but on Tuesday, the National Medal of Honor Museum opened its doors to the public in Arlington, Texas. Our mission is pretty simple, Chris Cassidy, CEO and president of the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation, told Military Times. Our aim is to inspire Americans through stories like Tommy's, Norris, of courage, sacrifice, service to others, service over self, through an interaction of those stories in the museum to bring that into one's own life. The 100,000 square foot museum boasts exhibits such as More Than a Medal, which explores the ordinary lives of medal recipients like Marine Kyle Carpenter, and an interactive display featuring interviews with the 61 Medal of Honor recipients living today. Since its inception in 1861 during the American Civil War, the Medal of Honor has been awarded to less than 4,000 men and one woman among the 40 million Americans who've served in the United States Armed Forces. Despite the award's prestige, however, some are less familiar with the Medal of Honor's history and its recipients. "We want to flip that around," Cassidy said. "We want people to walk out of the museum experience and have connected in a personal way, because people, human beings, like to hear stories of other human beings." While the National Medal of Honor Museum is not the first of its kind, the Medal of Honor Museum at Patriots Point, South Carolina, was designated by Congress as the official was designated by Congress as an official National Medal of Honor Memorial Site in 1999 and is operated by the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. The scale of the museum and the stories it shares is unprecedented. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and his family donated the first $20 million to get the staggering $300 million project started, with the museum site just a stone's throw away from the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. 32 of the recipients traveled down to Arlington to mark the museum's grand opening, with Medal of Honor recipient and Navy veteran Thomas "Tommy" Norris telling Military Times that the museum is an incredible avenue to be able to give to the American public those values that are held within the people that have served in order to receive this medal. For Norris, who was awarded the Medal of Honor for his 1972 actions in Quang Tri, Vietnam, these values aren't only displayed in the military. "Individual recipients don't wear the medal for themselves. It's for our teammates and for those that never returned, the ones we lost," Norris said. "But what it took to do that mission are the values and the inspiration we want to impart on all of the people that are able to come here and see this incredible museum. There are a lot of people out there that are heroes. A lot of people out there have done amazing things and are not always recognized. But they don't need to be. They can be self-satisfied with having the inspiration, the commitment to achieve whatever it is that they're trying to achieve." That's National Medal of Honor Museum opens its doors. Well, let's turn now to the Veterans Administration and their website, news.va.gov. And our first article from that website is "Veteran Buddy Link Helps Veterans Seeking Friendship and Support." "Together We Serve" new free service connects veterans with other local veterans. This is from the 26th of March by Brian Foster, president and founder of Together We Served. And then they have their caveat: the sharing of any non-VA information does not constitute an endorsement, products and services on the part of VA. Veterans should verify the information of the organization offering. Then, Together We Served, a military and veteran online community website with 2.5 million members, has launched a new free service called Veteran Buddy Link. To assist veterans who, due to their location or circumstances, may find themselves in a state of loneliness and would welcome the friendship and support of other veterans, particularly those residing in their neighborhood. That Veteran Buddy Link is Together We Serve. That's all one word: togetherweserve.com/buddylink. Again, just one word: Buddy Link. Veterans are justifiably proud of their service, and often this portrayal of pride may mask possible underlying anxieties and other issues associated with loneliness. Those who've served share a unique bond that remains with them throughout their lives. Veterans are naturally drawn to and thrive in the company of other veterans because the unique culture of military service and the commitment to service and sacrifice is common to all. This is the reason TWS's Veteran Buddy Link service was specially designed to enable all veterans, especially those who may feel isolated or alone, to seek the camaraderie of other veterans in the comfort and security of TWS's online environment, which has often been acknowledged as reminiscent of a military base. To seek a buddy connection, all a veteran needs to do is first register at the TWS Veteran Buddy Link portal page, and that's available at togetherweserve.com/buddylink. Registration is straightforward and includes a brief summary of a veteran's military service, their zip code of residence, and an invitation to respond to. If you'd like to be connected with other veterans for friendship or support, including those in your neighborhood, tell us a little bit more about yourself and how a veteran buddy connection would be welcome. When a veteran completes registration, an email is then automatically sent to all Together We Served members residing in the same zip code, indicating that a veteran in their neighborhood would welcome connecting with other local veterans and, if interested, to log in to view their Buddy Link post to make contact. As a natural extension to Buddy Check Week, Veteran Buddy Link provides a year-round opportunity for any veteran who has internet access to make meaningful connections with other veterans for social and welfare-related purposes, which could greatly improve the quality of their lives. That's Veteran Buddy Link helps veterans seeking support and friendship. We turn now to mindfulness and the challenge of climbing. Climbing is inherently a mindful activity. This from news.va.gov from the 26th of March by Mary Dale Amison, Public Affairs Specialist in the St. Louis VA. Veterans at St. Louis are learning firsthand the jargon and skills involved in rock climbing at upper limits while also applying mindfulness skills. The group sessions are sponsored by the St. Louis VA, courtesy of a grant through Adaptive Adventures, which supplies equipment and covers the fees to allow veterans to attend without cost. Belay, harness, figure eight, climbing, take, these are part of the jargon and essential climbing safety terms for the first-time climber and the seasoned pro. Climbing is inherently a mindful activity. Attention is focused in the present moment, and the mind and body are connected through breath and movement, said psychologist and avid climber, Dr. Devorah Ginn. I can let go of all the thoughts that may be bothering me and just focus on climbing. It's a highly emotional activity that's a great adventure for mental health intervention. My belief that veterans could benefit from learning mindfulness skills in action while climbing brought me to develop Grounded in the Heights, and here we are, blending recreational therapy and mental health. Thanks to recreational therapist John Schmank and the program he established in 2017, Veterans Experience Rock Climbing, by blending recreational therapy and mental health through a mindfulness-based therapeutic rock climbing program, which Ginn is developing a treatment protocol. Retired Air Force Master Sergeant Cedric Anderson tried the adaptive rig and made it to the top of the wall unassisted. That was great, and I'm tired. It was harder than I thought it would be. Being a double amputee requires overcoming limits, no kidding, and a different way of doing things. Since I can't use my legs, I need to work on things in the gym that will give me what I need to be successful in this sport. We encourage veterans of all abilities to join us and discover what we're all about, said Schmink. We have an amazing group of participants, including both young and old, as well as experienced climbers and beginners. And that's mindfulness and the challenge of climbing. Our next article from news.va.gov, two telehealth resources to help you eat healthier. Veterans can track their progress using an app. This is from the 26th of March by Gwen McMillan, Communications Specialist of the Digital Health Office. It's well known that nutrition is important for maintaining a healthy lifestyle, managing existing conditions, and meeting overall health goals. However, measuring and meeting nutritional needs may seem complicated and intimidating. You can make informed food choices and develop healthy nutritional and physical habits with the help of these VA telehealth resources. Move Coach. Move Coach is a mobile weight management app designed for veterans and available for all. Available for free on iOS and Android, Move Coach provides education, self-management, and tracking tools to make it easier to reach your weight goals. That app is available at mobile.va.gov/app/move-coach. This app has a free library of resources on weight management, nutrition, and other health topics. Move Coach also provides users with a 16-week course of self-management modules that guide users to successful changes in weight. Veterans can track their progress by using the app's daily weight diary, where they can keep note of eating, physical activity, and goals. And calculation tools allow users to get in-depth information about daily activity by calculating exercise intensity, calories burned, and activity-to-step conversions. Healthy Teaching Kitchen. The Healthy Teaching Kitchen, or HTK, program offers veterans guided practice and cooking at home with nutritious, fresh ingredients. And that's available at www.nutrition.va.gov/healthy_teaching_kitchen.asp. Veterans can use HTK to better their nutritional knowledge and cooking skills, gain control of their health, and practice healthy habits. Healthy Teaching Kitchen classes include discussions on nutrients, meal planning, and grocery shopping, and they encourage veterans to get hands-on experience in the kitchen, too. At the end of each class, veterans are given recipes for nutritious meals to make on their own, including disease-specific options like carbohydrate-controlled recipe for diabetes, recipes for heart health, and anti-inflammatory recipes. Healthy Teaching Kitchen classes are offered in person at VA facilities or online via the VA Video Connect program. To find out if your facility has an HTK program, you can contact your care team's registered dietitian nutritionist. How to get started. For more information to achieve your healthy eating goals and other VA telehealth resources, you can check out the VA Nutrition and Food Services News post or visit the VA App Store. And that post is available at nutrition.va.gov/nnm_collaboration.asp, and you can hit the VA App Store at mobile.va.gov/appstore. That article, 2 telehealth resources to help you eat healthier. Looks like we have time for about one more article from news.va.gov. Telehealth study recruiting veterans now. Veterans must be at least 60 years old. This is from the 25th of March by Jessica Plue, Research Services Professional from Eastern Colorado VA. The VA Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center is recruiting 126 veterans nationwide by October 2026 for a telehealth physical therapy program. This program provides high-intensity rehabilitation, coaching, and social support to veterans. It provides physical rehabilitation through telehealth, which is effective in improving and sustaining physical function for older veterans. This program will compare physical functioning results of the telerehabilitation group to the education control group. To be eligible to participate in the study, veterans must be at least 60 years old and have some need for physical therapy. Final eligibility for participation will be made by the program staff at the VA Eastern Colorado Healthcare System and the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Program designed to improve strength and mobility. Called the Multi-Component Telerehabilitation Program, this structured program provides physical therapy for veterans experiencing physical difficulties in their day-to-day life. The program is designed to help improve strength, mobility, and social engagement with exercise using technology to help veterans achieve their health and wellness goals. All study sessions occur by video call 3 times a week for 12 weeks, followed by 4 additional coaching sessions in the next 12 weeks. Participants will also receive a Fitbit to help track their activity and health. This is the 3rd study of the program VA has conducted, with the prior 2 evaluations providing information to improve the program. 14 veterans from the first pilot study and 46 veterans from the 2nd study completed the program. On average, veterans showed significant improvements in aerobic and physical fitness immediately following the program. The 3rd study aims to test longer-term outcomes as well as provide coaching and technology support that's lacking from many established Veterans Health Administration rehabilitation programs. For more information, you can visit the study website, and that is available by going to news.va.gov and searching for health, and you'll find the article and the link to the website. Or you can contact Jessica Plew, and her address is jessica.plew. And that's jessica.plew@va.gov, with the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center if you're interested in participating. And that's Telehealth Study Recruiting Veterans Now. You've been listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona for March the 27th. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Thank you so much for joining me. And remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming, streaming, or at a time of your choosing on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org, or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your phone or tablet from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo.